Hey, 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 welcome to the First Time Homebuyer Workshop podcast with Julie Marion, episode number 6. Today we are shifting to the next subject topic where we are going to, over the next 5 podcasts, we will address some legal terms, quote unquote. As I mentioned in the first podcast, we are going to be tackling definitions in one subject area and then moving on to another subject area and then moving on to another subject area. So we will be rotating every 5 podcasts into a different subject area so that you can learn a little bit about the home buying process as you acquire nuggets and nuggets and acorns of knowledge in your home buying jar. So let's get right to it today to uncover how you as a homeowner, yes, you will become a homeowner, how you will hold title to your property. I have to say, this really frosts me. Now, why? Well, because it happens so nonchalantly, and I have to say, too, this has financial repercussions and is barely even discussed. All right, so today we are unwrapping the term joint tenants. This is a widely held category for people buying property, and we are just starting the terms of property ownership. So in the next podcast, where we will discuss tenants in the entirety, and then tenants in common in the third podcast, and then we will compare them so that you are getting more than what Dr. Internet gives you. So that's kind of what will be happening over the next few podcasts. Now, as a caveat, I am not a lawyer, and any document for holding property, lawyers need to be consulted. They are the professionals that will do this correctly. However, you must understand what your options are. So it's on you to figure out what you want to choose and then fine-tune it with the professional. The technical definition of joint tenants or joint tenancy means 2 or more people own the property together and they own the property equally. So it's usually 50-50 if there are 2 people. But however, let's say that there are 3 people, then it's 33.3%. Joint tenancy is the vehicle of ownership that allows for the right of survivorship. So when one person passes away, the other portion goes to the remaining 2 people or the remaining 1 person. Typically, on the deed, it will also say on it, joint tenancy with the right of survivorship, right there on the deed. But it's already there by definition. Now, all co-owners have to take title at the same time. Joint tenancy means that they have an undivided right to enjoy the property. All the co-owners own equal shares, and the co-owner who survives will wind up owning the entire property. Now, I hate to bring this up, but this is where joint tenancy gets messy when we talk about marriage, divorce, and death. Those are the times that really triggers. And sometimes people get really upset about how they've chosen to hold property when they had one type of ownership at the beginning, and then at the end, the way they feel about the situation is completely different. So let's tackle some of these messy situations with joint tenancy in mind. I think I read someplace that no one ever thinks about divorce when they're getting married, right? I mean, I know I didn't. And the truth is, a study completed by Bowling Green State University, and I'm quoting here, after reaching a 40-year record low for 2 years of 2020 and 2021, the divorce statistic was 14 per 1,000 married women that were reporting divorce. And in 2021, it was slightly higher with 14.56 per 1,000 women. So it is down from the peak in 1979 when the rate was 22.6 per 1,000 women. But nonetheless, in 2021, there were 948,862 women reporting divorce and 989,518 reported divorce in 2022. So that's almost a million people annually. Now, let's not just harp on marriage. What about becoming a widow and remarrying? What if you are a widow with children and you have a second marriage? You can go check on the statistics of those scenarios. This is not an episode on divorce or marriage, but it is an episode about what to do with an asset once people have decided not to live under the same roof. Now, most of the transactions I've been involved with do end up in joint tenancy with right of survivorship, regardless of sexual orientation. So it's a widely used form of home ownership. And of course, there are pros with joint tenancy. It is a very simple solution. If something happens to the spouse, the other spouse will get the house. However, you do not have to be married. So often people think that, but being married is not a requirement for joint tenancy. But the ownership of joint tenancy, now this avoids probate court, and that can save time and money. Another pro is that it is easy and it provides peace of mind to the survivor owners, especially at a time of grief. Now, as I said, there's no requirement that it be a married couple, and it seems like a straightforward, inexpensive, and simple way to share ownership of a property. Now, you are getting to know me, and I do love examples. So let's say there are four brothers that buy a vacation house. Now that property can be held as joint tenants, and the joint tenants must hold the property in equal shares. If there are four of you, each of you must own a quarter of the property. The most important characteristic of joint tenancy is that right of survivorship, as I've been sort of mentioning. This means that if one of the joint tenants dies, the entire joint tenancy remains in the hands of the surviving joint tenant. For this reason, a joint tenant can't leave his share to his heirs unless he is the only surviving joint tenant, in which case he becomes the sole owner of the property. All the joint tenants have the right to use and enjoy the property, but not exclusively. And one joint tenant can't do anything to interfere with the other's rights. Now, this is hunky-dory if everyone gets along, but I don't know any family that doesn't have some conflict. So let's talk about the cons of joint tenancy, because like most things in life, there are some disadvantages. The cons of joint tenancy include control issues. Since every owner has a co-equal share of the asset, any decision must be mutual. So now put your thinking cap on here and think about maintenance bills, heating, landscaping, houses have to be maintained, and all of that, it costs money. You might not be able to sell or mortgage the home if your co-owner doesn't agree. Then there are tax implications with joint tenancy arrangements, and they vary depending upon whether the owners of the property are married. If you have purchased a home with your spouse in a joint tenant arrangement, you might face capital gains if you sell the home after your spouse dies. And how much you pay in capital gains will depend upon the tax codes at the time of the death. It's the same thing with a family house too. For most survivorship arrangements, you will see that estate taxes are generally applied, meaning that the survivor who gets the portion of the house will have to pay taxes on that value of the portion. Right now, the IRS allows married couples $500,000 of profit on their primary residence, not the sales price, it's the profit. So it's your cost basis and all the improvements that you've done on the house subtracted by the effective sales price, meaning the fees deducted from the price. But that's not the case for family homes, because family homes would not be your primary residence. So it's a combination of different things with respect to capital gains. Now let's talk about some of the messiness of joint tenancy agreement. If one person wants out, the entire group is affected. So using the married couple or even our family house vacation example, in this scenario, the joint tenant can have the court force a sale or divide the property. However, it's more likely that a group would agree just to resolve the situation, like dissolve the joint tenancy and reform the group. Now, two, a joint tenant can transfer out of the ownership, but that action will terminate the joint tenancy, and the new owner or new owners will join in as a tenancy in common, which then gets complicated, and you can see that you would need a lawyer. By entering into a joint tenancy agreement, you lose some control over your property. All joint tenants have equal rights to the property, meaning any tenant can sell, rent, or encumber the property without the consent of the other joint tenants. Joint tenancy does not protect the property from claims of other joint tenants' creditors. If one joint tenant has significant debts, creditors may seek to attach to the property, potentially putting the other tenants at risk. Joint tenancy offers limited flexibility when it comes to distributing assets after your death. The property must pass to their surviving joint tenants, regardless of your wishes or any provisions in your will. So in our example of the vacation house, one brother cannot give his portion of the vacation house to his children. His portion goes to the other three brothers. Does that make sense? Now let's address an elephant in the room, divorce. When you own property as a joint tenant, maybe I'm wrong, but divorce is not usually super happy or amicable situation. It's not easy, especially if you have kids. So what would happen if you held house as joint tenants, your equal shares, and then you dissolve this partnership? And to further this, what would happen with the joint tenancy if one owner wanted to sell and the other doesn't? Let's say the husband doesn't want to sell and the wife does. Let's use an example. Jeff and Susie got married, they bought a house, and they are joint tenants with the right of survivorship. Now they have decided to get divorced. And suppose they have an impasse as whether or not to sell. They might need to involve their attorneys, and the court may need to resolve the situation, which is an expensive and a stressful proposition. So that's one scenario. But what happens in joint tenancy if one owner wants their share to go to a third person, similar to the vacation house example I gave you? But let's just go with the divorce situation so that we don't get too confused. So suppose Susie and Jeff are on the verge of an amicable divorce, and Jeff wants his share of his home to go to his brother. Jeff and Susie are still married, but their marriage is on shaky ground, and Susie is very involved in her career and is showing little interest in the children. Jeff would like to convey his joint tenancy in the interest of the home to his brother. And Jeff's brother and sister-in-law are the children's guardians. And Jeff wants to ensure that his brother can keep his share of the home should something happen to him. If Jeff gives his share of the house to his brother, the joint tenancy would be converted to a tenancy in common. If Jeff died, his brother and Susie would have an undivided right to occupy and enjoy the property, but there would be no rights of survivorship because it's in a tenancy in common holding. If either Susie or Jeff's brother died, their interest in the home would pass according to the terms in their will, or if there were no will, to the heirs according to the state's intestacy laws. In many states, a conveyance such as this one could be made by a tenant unilaterally. Jeff could gift his interest in the home to his brother without notifying Susie. Jeff could even convey the joint tenancy interest to himself, sever the joint tenancy, and create a tenancy in common. The law is not consistent in every state, and the conveyance must be recorded in the county recorder's office to be effective. State law also must be consulted before attempting to sever a joint tenancy to ensure that all applicable legal requirements are met. So you guessed it, you need a lawyer. If Susie, Jeff, and Jeff's brother all own the home as joint tenants with the right of survivorship, in some states, this would create a last person standing situation, which the last surviving tenant will receive the entire estate of the property, the entire interest in the property. In other states, if one owner attempted to create a tenancy in common by conveying their interest to themselves, only their interest would be converted to a tenancy in common. The remaining joint tenant would continue to own the other two shares in the home as a joint tenant with the right of survivorship. It gets so complicated, and yes, you need a lawyer. Now let's twist this a little bit. What happens if one owner wants a property to go to their children instead of a second spouse? So suppose Susie and Jeff have divorced and Susie has remarried, and Susie has purchased a new home with her husband. She and her new husband own a home with joint tenancy with the right of survivorship. Now, Susie may want to leave her joint tenancy rights to her children instead of her new spouse. Therefore, joint tenancy may not be the best solution for her. Perhaps a tenancy in common may be a better option for her. What happens if joint tenants are not married and disagree? Suppose it's the family vacation house and the joint tenants are not married. If there is a conflict, they may need to ask a judge to partition the property. The judge can divide the land and the building into equal shares. But since this would be impossible to do when the property is a single home on a single piece of land, the judge may order that the property be sold and the proceeds of the sale split between the joint tenants. It all gets so complicated, and when you are shopping for a house and all the other decisions you are making, this is an easy one to decide on how you will hold the property. But wait till episode number 7, where we discuss tenants in the entirety. We are just getting started in the series of 5, so stick around. And that is our 15 minute of home buying knowledge, just another acorn to put in your home buyer jar. In the next podcast, as I just said, we're going to talk about tenancy in the entirety and how it is applied, the pros and cons, and we will compare that ownership with joint tenancy. If you are new here, you can go to our website, thefirsttimehomebuyerworkshop.com, and sign up for our weekly email, where we will email you with the link to this podcast right there in your in-basket so you don't forget or have to hunt around for the right episode. I can't wait to empower you. Until next time, from the team at the First Time Homebuyer Workshop with Julie Marion, bye for now.